No matter how dark they might be, our forgiveness is so full, so free. Do you understand? It is. That it literally cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Don't ever hide your sin from your Father.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program this week, Pastor Bill continues his series, Real Life, from the New Testament epistle of 1 John. Today, he concludes the message, Real Fellowship. Now, let's listen in.
When we confess our sins, we're not going to God, our judge. Come on. We are going, I'm a child of God, going to my Father in heaven. Big difference, amen? Okay, very, very important. So confession of sin, loved one, is between the child of God and Father God, if you will. Now, our sonship is not in question in this verse. What's in question is our real fellowship with God. If we've gotten into sin, we've gotten into darkness. Amen? Okay, we got to get back into the light. So what does God say? I am faithful. God is always faithful. I am just, not only to forgive you, but I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then I will restore real fellowship. Confession of sin is the That's why you've heard me preach years ago. I had 10 things we need to do for the year, whatever year it was. And one of them was be quick to repent. Amen? And so, listen, confession of sin is the way back into God's light. That's how we return. Listen to me now. Open up your heart for a second. Open up your ears. The sin we confess, or even sins we confess, they are so forgiven, no matter how dark they might be, our forgiveness is so full, so free. Do you understand? It is. That it literally cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, listen, don't ever hide your sin from your Father. Don't do that. You know, listen, God already knows what you're doing. Don't ever hide your sin. And God says, do you not know? I know what you're doing. I know the temptation. I know how you got off track. I know how you got into darkness. You think I don't know those things? God says, listen, you have to remember that I am faithful. I am right, or I am just. Oh, he says, you run to me. Pour out, remember what the psalmist says, pour out your heart unto God. He never tires of you pouring out your heart unto God. He says, pour them out. Confess your sin. Why? Let me give you the scripture. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, turns away from them, will have mercy. Now look at the third, if we say, in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, in other words, I've never committed an act of sin ever in my life. Hello. I've been sinning since I was born. No, well, not now, but before. If we say that we never committed an act of sin, look at this now. Look what we make our Father. We make him a what? Do you know that is the exact same word that Jesus used in John 8:44 when he called the devil the father of lies? He's the father of every lie. Man, we make our Father a liar. And number two, his word is not in us. Now, I want you to think for a minute. If we say we've never sinned or never committed an act of sin, how do we make God a liar? It's important to understand. Let's take number one. The first way that we make God a liar is that we don't understand God's plan for redemption for all of mankind because of human sin. Amen? We need to read our Bibles again. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Romans 5:8, what does it say? God proves or demonstrates his own love to us while we were yet sinners. Say it again, sinners. Christ died for us. What was it? I don't know. What is it? 1 Timothy? He says, for God sent his son into the world to die for sinners, and I am chief. Amen. So we're all sinners. All of us are sinners. That's the first reason. The second reason that we make God a liar, if we believe that, is that we remove the verdict of God, the judgment of God, from the entire human race, loved one. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as though one man, sin, that's Adam, sin entered the world, death through sin, and death spread to all men because all men sinned, because all mankind is in the federal head of the human race, which is Adam, amen? Every person that is born with a sin nature. The third reason, if we say that we've never sinned or whatnot there, then it makes Jesus' death meaningless. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption in him, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. It makes those two scriptures completely meaningless. Now, and if we say that we have not sinned, look what God says again. He says his word is not in us. God's message is not in us, and God's son is not in us. 1 John 5:10, he who believes the Son of God has the witness in himself. Man, in other words, it was a personal experience. We were dead, now we're born again. Amen? Okay, and then it says, and he who does not believe has made God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son, that he sent his son to die for the sins of the world. Amen? Very, very important. Now look what happens in chapter 2. It says, my little children, these things, the things that we've just covered, I write to you. And he tells us why. So that you may not sin. John is saying that's the mindset that every believer is, God wants us to have. We want to reckon our old man dead. We want to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Amen? Okay. And so that's, he said, that's your determined aim. But I want you to notice, did you see what John just did? He made a change. He did not write as he has all the rest of the time. He's been writing we, meaning all the apostles. He now goes to I. He says, I write to you. In other words, he's including himself now. Watch. He says, listen, he speaks with such tenderness. He calls them little children because, listen to me, no Christian, we don't really want to ever sin, do we? We live with that old man. He's dead and we're carrying him around. We're not going to be, our flesh is not redeemed, loved one. Okay? It's going to return to the dust from which it came. We have to have a new body to get into heaven. Amen? Okay. So, but our spirit has been redeemed. Now, nobody, no Christian wants to sin. And don't you just wish that becoming a Christian freed us from any ability to sin? Didn't that be something? I walk around, I'm sinless, man. I mean, no, really think about that. I mean, I can look at anything in this world. I don't sin. Nothing at all. But is that the truth? No. Are we in a battle? Are we in a battle with the flesh? The devil? The world? Okay, but we have armor for that too. Okay, so we don't want to just write that off. Now, look what he says. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. Now, watch this. And if anyone sins, you have lost sonship. No, you've lost real fellowship. Amen? Okay, he says, if anyone sins, we have. He uses the word we, not I. He includes himself now. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is humanity, amen? He became one of us. Jesus, the name Jesus, it says in Matthew 1:21, his name will be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. That's what he's done for us. Jesus, and then he uses the word Christ. That's his deity. He's Christ. He came from heaven to earth. But then he says, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the sinless one. Jesus doesn't need an advocate. Amen? He is the advocate. Now listen to me. This is so important. our Father, who He loves us so much, He provided an advocate for us. Think about that. That's how much He loves you. And you know, maybe you're here and you're saying, are you out of fellowship with God? Christians today, for some reason, think they don't need to get married or something. They just live together. You're in sin if you're living together. I love you, but you're in sin. I didn't say that. God said that. Amen? So are you out of fellowship with God? If you're out of fellowship with God, you're out of God's light. You're not out of God's love. You're out of God's light. And that means that you're now in darkness. And boy, when you're in darkness, you cannot see where you're going. And you're deceived there. So God says, I love you so much. He says to us, we, all of us right now, we have an advocate. And look where He is. He is with our Father in heaven. You know what the word advocate means? It means we have an attorney. We have a defense lawyer. It's parakaleo, one who comes alongside of you. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. He's our strengthener, our helper. He's our advocate, if you will. When we sin, we have an attorney in God's courtroom. Amen? Now listen, there He is. And He stands before God our Father as the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of this world. He stands there. The piercing in His hands are still there. He is the God-man. He's in heaven. The God-man is in heaven. And He stands there. And let me tell you something about our Lord. If you believe Scripture, Jesus Christ, when we say, oh God, we've blown it, we have an advocate in heaven. Amen? Listen, and our advocate, who is Jesus Christ, that's His name. He is our attorney. He's never lost a case, okay? Boy, we can go to Him, and the spotless, sinless Son of God, He's there. He is our defender in a sense. He doesn't say we're innocent, but it does say, I paid for their sins. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect, the ones God has chosen us in Him before time began? Amen? So we're His elect, His chosen one. He says, who's going to bring a charge? I mean, press charges in a court of law. It says, hey, it's God who justifies, declares us as if we had never sinned. Amen? That's our position. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our spiritual position, but not necessarily our practice. Now, who is He who condemns? It is Christ, meaning God's own Son, who died, who paid the penalty of our sins, who died, furthermore, is risen. He has victory over death and sin. Amen? And is seated at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's our advocate. Hebrews 7:25, therefore, He is able to save, our great high priest, our advocate, our Lord, our Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. You know what that word means? Uttermost means He's able to save completely, forever and ever, even to our last moment on this planet. He is able to save to the those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to make intercession for them. Now watch verse 2 now. And He Himself, meaning Jesus, our advocate, look what He is. He is the propitiation for our what? Our sins. Did you notice that John did something? He didn't say His death was a propitiation for our sins. But it is. But He had to come back to life. Amen? So what does He say? He says, Jesus Christ Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Man, loved one, how can we ever put a worth on our Savior? The Bible says was it 2 Corinthians 9:15? Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. We don't even know, we don't have words to express it. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift from God to mankind. Amen? Amen. Oh, and I thank God for that. It says in 1 John 4:10, oh, and this is love. This is love now. This is God's love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We could read it this way. God sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The atonement, okay? But it's not just He covered our sins, He took away our sins. In other words, the propitiation means this, that the wrath of God against mankind's sin was satisfied on the cross when Jesus Christ died or paid the penalty for mankind's sin. He took all of our sin from Adam all the way to the end. Amen? He took all of the world's sin, loved one. So listen, Jesus is not only our advocate, Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. Now, Jesus to God is the satisfaction, if you will, for our sins. In Romans, I think it's chapter 3, I forget what verse it is, when it talks about Paul, when Paul says the propitiation, that word means atonement or mercy seat. Remember in the Old Covenant, the lid of the mercy seat, you know, if you went into the most holy place, there was only one piece of furniture. That piece of furniture was called the Ark of the Covenant, remember? On the ark, on the lid, or the mercy seat, it was made out of pure gold. Now, once a year, the high priest of Israel, they would go in, and what would they sprinkle on the mercy seat? The blood. Jesus. What did Jesus do when he died? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that Jesus, with not the blood of bull and goats, that can never take away sin, with his own blood, he entered heaven. He entered the tabernacle in heaven, the Holy of Holies. And what did he do? He poured out his blood because Jesus is the mercy seat. Do you understand? He is the satisfaction of our sins. What was underneath the mercy seat? The law that mankind broke, the Ten Commandments. Remember? Oh, listen, the blood covered it all. Our sins have been totally and completely forgiven, but not, it gets gooder. Watch this one. It says, and he is a propitiation for our sins, but watch, and not for our sins only, but also the whole world. The universal, unlimited atonement of Christ. I don't know how much clearer God has to be in his word. You know, I have a big problem with anyone. I love them. I have a big problem with anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what denomination they are. I have a big problem with anyone who teaches the limited atonement, that Jesus only died for a few, the ones that he chose. He didn't choose you to go to heaven. He chose you to go to hell, that kind of stuff. No. Listen, no. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:16, for God sent his Son, amen. For God so loved the what? World. And we, as you hear me say so often, that's not talking about trees and rivers and mountains. It's those in the world. For God so loved the world. That agreement with Jesus and God the Father was done before the world was ever created. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just this one or that one, whosoever believe and not perish, have everlasting life. Oh, listen, no. I'm going to tell you something. Does that mean everyone's going to be saved? No, but it does mean that the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice is sufficient for anyone in any generation that will come to him and believe. Amen? And if you don't believe, it's so sad. I mean, think about it. The penalty of our sin has been paid, and if a person doesn't receive Christ, then they're going to pay the penalty of their sin when it's already been paid for. All you have to do is believe. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is? That's spiritual death. It's not physical death. That is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. But the gift of God, it's a gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, you know how much God loves you. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? It means that God punished himself, not you. It means that God took your place on the cross, not you. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, what? Sin. God, our Father, treated Jesus as if he had sinned. All the sins of mankind were placed upon him. Why? that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, the great doctrine of imputed righteousness, where when we trust in Christ, you know what happens? His spotless, perfect record is put over into our account. And when God sees us, he sees us in Christ, and Christ is perfect. That's our spiritual position, not our walk. We're in sanctification, amen? Justification is a one-time act. Sanctification is a process where we go from glory to glory. Oh, God is so good to us. Listen, do you ever just think, church? I mean, do you ever just think and remember before you were saved and God entered our darkness? He entered our darkness and he gave us light. Do you remember that day? Do you remember why you fought about not taking Jesus as your Lord or asking him? Let me give you the reason, one of the reasons. 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, Paul says, if our gospel, meaning the good news of Jesus Christ, if it's hidden, it's hidden from those who are perishing. But that was you, that was me. We were going to hell. Amen? We were perishing. He says, whose minds the God of this age, the devil, has blinded. He was blinding us from the greatest news ever given to mankind. We don't need God. We don't need Jesus. I don't need a crutch. You know, go get me another six-pack. You know what I'm trying to say. He says, but God commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus, be my Lord. And what happened? The light of God exploded in our heart. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus, the new birth. Amen? Church, listen to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, we're all sons of light, daughters of light, or sons of the day. We're not of the night. We're not of the darkness. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness. Not in the dark. You were darkness. What a word is that? But now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does that mean, to walk as children of the light? It means manifest who you really are. You are the offspring of the light of the world. Amen? You're the offspring of God. He says, but you can do those things. We are no longer held in darkness like we were. Colossians 1:12, let me read it to you. Giving thanks to the Father who has, that's past tense, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. That's you, that's me. And he has delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Loved one, the power of darkness can't touch you. It's over with. If you're going to get in darkness, you're going to do it yourself. You're going to walk over and get into it. God says, oh, listen, I've rescued out of that. Why do you want to go back over into that junk? Listen to what we're called to do. 2 Peter 2:9, that you, Christian, may proclaim, that means to advertise, to make known, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God says, I want you to walk in my marvelous light. God says, I've lit the church up. Stay lit up. You stay in my light. Amen? If we say, remember in verse 6, if we say that we have real fellowship with him, and if we walk in an ongoing habitual lifestyle of sin, it says that we are liars. We don't practice the truth. You know, any Christian can get in trouble. They can get in a place and it's like, I don't know how to get out. And they're hurting, and they're in darkness. And God says, oh, wait a minute, there's a way to get out, because I love you. I have given you my Son as an advocate. He will bring you back into the light. He will bring you back into fellowship and come out of darkness. Christian, is that you? You just need to confess that to the Lord and say, you know what I'm doing. You know my lifestyle. You know that I got off the path and I want to come back. And he will pull you back because he loves you. And he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, immediately by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Pastor's next message from this series is titled Real Love. We encourage you to tune in once again. We appreciate you listening with us today. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.